I guess I need to not defend myself as much as apologize to you and the listeners for some nonsensical things I said about gatekeeping.
Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit.
The things I were talking about gatekeeping weren't even gatekeeping. I don't know what the heck I was talking about. Maybe somebody slipped me some magic mushrooms or something. I don't know. Whatever I said in those previous episodes, you can disregard, because that's not gatekeeping. And you and I talked about this the other day when we were playing Carl Rodriguez's Broken Lands game. But really, I don't have any issue with house rules. And even at a convention or public space, I don't have an issue with it. As long as you do what Liren had said, if you're advertising a game, just make sure you mention the house rules in it, and it's all good.
And talking of mushrooms, we hear now from the OSR Mushroom Eye himself, Mr. John Large of Red Dice Diaries. Take it away, John.
Just halfway through listening to your 5 GM tips episode, and I've got to say, yeah, I'm pretty much on board with you about keeping the numbers down in an online game to a certain degree. I tend to run with like 4 sort of like max. I've done larger groups, and it can be a little bit more tricky, like you say, people talking over each other and stuff like that. For me, like, as you were saying, sort of 3 or 4 players is that sweet spot for online gaming. Also, I've got to say, I really agree with you about giving a campaign a name. As you know, when I did our OSC campaign, I called it Smoke and Snow because it was trying to emphasize the fact that there is black powder, and also that the campaign, by and large, is taking place in a subarctic environment. And I really think it gives a hook for the players to sort of understand what the vibe is about the campaign. I'm also a big fan of the Session Zero for games, and you discussed this a bit in your episode. And mainly for me, that's an opportunity to sort of chat to the players, find out what they're expecting from the game, and also what I'm envisioning for the game, make sure we're all sort of understanding where each other are coming from. I can get a few ideas from players that I can incorporate into the campaign. I can find out what they want, what I want. Like I say, make sure, as you said, get all your ducks in the row. And I tend to include sort of character gen as part of Session Zero, so I get a good idea of like the thought processes of people as they're making their characters, and we can make sure that we're all going to get a game that we all enjoy.
Hi, Colin. This is BJ with the Arcane Alienist podcast. I just listened to your latest DM advice. I was going to tell you, I use Facebook for my groups just because all my friends are already on Facebook. It has a groups feature where you can just select the privacy settings, so maybe only your friends can find it or only the people you invite. But it allows us to communicate between sessions, and it has a calendar feature where you can schedule games. And I find what I do is I post a summary of every session in the calendar on the event, so we have an ongoing journal or record of the campaign. And also, like you suggest, I name my sessions. Sometimes it's just very descriptive, like we're going into the Evermore Swamp and Forgotten Realms, so the session is just called the Evermores. But sometimes I try to come up with a little clever or funny names for it when I can. But yeah, Facebook works really well. Enjoy the show.
I think journaling and keeping notes is really important, and having a good way to share it amongst each other is important. Naming sessions, I really haven't done that in the past, but I do think it's a great idea. If we weren't doing the playtest of against Art Master right now, I would probably incorporate that, but maybe I'll do it anyway. I think it is a good idea. Yeah, I don't know about the taster session. I don't think it'll hurt anything. I guess if you have a group you've never played with, there's something to that. I wonder if you don't do your Session Zero, or at least establish safety tools before you do that, though. Again, we're talking to a general audience here. Yeah, I think chapters is a great idea. Breaking down into, you know, certain, I'm trying to hold the 3 or 4 sessions and then reevaluate. I think that's great.
And I really like what you were saying about chapter points and things like that. I thought that was a very good idea. It's something I'm hoping to do in our Smoke and Snow OSE game, but I'm doing the chapters as the sort of like the seasons on the game calendar. So as you probably recall, in Valkonnen, where our campaign's set, they have like a sort of 3-month summer and then a longer winter. They only have 2 seasons because it's a subarctic environment. So what I'm hoping to do is when we get to the end of summer, which will be sort of like 3 weeks in game time, that will be the end of chapter one. And then like the long winter, in inverted commas, will be the second chapter of the game. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, I really enjoyed the episode, dude. Take care, and I'll catch you soon.
And we will indeed see how that goes. John Large of Red Dice Diaries, my GM for OSC Adventures in the realms of Smoke and Snow. And you can catch up on our adventures by watching the actual play recordings that John posts over on his YouTube channel. In fact, we'll be hearing a little bit later on from one of the viewers who has called in. But you're going to have to guess who it is. So I'd like to give a big shout out then to my patrons, the Pit Crew. In particular, I'd like to make a special mention to Yvonne Lepin, Jason Connolly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and my brother Arfed, who recently, following some reorganisation of my Patreon, they have upped their pledges. Thanks, guys. I was pleased to get some feedback regarding the GM tip episodes that I've put out recently. I wanted to try and get some personal ideas out there again, some kind of my own brand of content for the listener. It does seem that reviews for products are pretty popular. The problem, of course, with reviewing products is you've got to have the products to review. It works a little bit better on YouTube. Buddy of mine, Arlen Walker of Live from Pelham's Wasteland podcast and YouTube, put out an overview of Beowulf recently. It's like a 5e hack. Going to get to playing that at a weekend. Super stoked about that. That's totally in my wheelhouse. That Dark Age vibe is something I really enjoy. And the fact that it's got John Hodgson of One Ring and Adventures in Middle-earth fame doesn't hurt either. I've had a look at it. You can check out samples of it up on DriveThruRPG. And it's really nicely done. Brings some great new ideas to 5th edition. And a new voice, BJ, calling in, Arcane Alienist podcast. Check him out. He's part of the new wave of anchor podcasters. Keeping with the theme of new things, I've been putting out some YouTube content. I've got 3 videos up there now, looking to grow some subscribers. The good thing about YouTube, I think, is the search function. It seems like a good way to get to a bit of a different audience. I feel the podcast has stagnated somewhat, probably not been helped by coronavirus and the fact that people are not doing so much commuting. That seems to be one of the issues. You know, there's a lot of time can go into podcasting, and it would be nice to get that reach and get to more people to make it feel a bit more worthwhile. I feel with a creative endeavor, you always want to feel like you're improving and doing more, and listeners, it is a metric that kind of spurs you on. I find it motivating to know, you know, there's more people listening, or you've got a growing audience.
Spike Pit, who the bleeding hell is Spike Pit? Hold on a minute. I've heard of him. Oh, no. Oh, he's crap. He's blinking crap. He ain't got no trolls on now or nothing. What on earth is he rambling on about, I ask her?
Yo, what up, Spike Pit? Yeah, so anytime I hear the term research shows, it always makes me wonder about that research. You know, how many people did they actually test it on? Who tested it? How many times did they test it? Yeah, because a lot of times you'll see, oh, you know, research shows that, you know, 97% of all dudes love redheads. But then you'll see that they interviewed like 100 people. And you're like, okay, that doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. So, yeah, you know, I know it says that attention spans have shrunk, and they probably have, but I don't know. I'd love to hear more about, you know, that study.
I ought to sort that geezer out once and for all. Oh, my name ain't Tom the Tinnernet Troll. Get at ya.
Anyway, great stuff, man. Always fun to hear your voice, and I will talk to you again soon.
And that, as they say, is a wrap. Thanks to everybody who called in, making this Into the Pit episode possible. And last but not least, a big thanks goes out to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.
Peace out.